Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And then today we begin the Sunday school lesson with verse 9, and I would like to get through verse 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 9 through 13. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Verse 9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Divers and strange means different and foreign. Be not carried about with different doctrines and foreign doctrines. I like what Grover Burns said shortly before he died, really. He said, I'm glad for a lot of the things I don't know. I'm glad for all the things I don't know. And I would like to apply that to different and foreign doctrines, divers and strange doctrines. So he says in verse 9, be not carried about. You see, what he's saying here is that divers doctrines or different doctrines or foreign doctrines, foreign to the word of God, foreign to the word that you have heard preached to you over the years, foreign to the truth, these doctrines will carry you away from the church, carry you away from the Bible, carry you away from the truth of the word of God, carry you away from your family, carry you away from your Christian friends, and so on. So be not carried about. Blown about with all the winds of doctrine through the Bible. So they have a way of separating you from that which is good and true. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, different and foreign doctrines. Now the Bible's got much to say about doctrine. For instance, 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in so doing you shall both save yourself and them that hear you. Now there was years ago when the Pentecostal church was probably a little bit had a tendency to dry up. And they were contained within their four walls. And God said, no, I want other people to have the Holy Ghost besides those Pentecostals down there. And so God erupted out on the streets, out on the sidewalk, out in the highways and byways, in another church that refused to denominationalize appeared on the horizon. We know them as charismatics. Okay? But one of their ideas was, we don't want doctrine because doctrine is divisive. Doctrine divides and separates churches and people, and we've all got to be in this together. But I see a grave danger in that attitude. You've got to have doctrine. I just read it in 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Don't dismiss doctrine. Don't throw it out the window. Do you know what doctrine is? Doctrine is teaching. That's exactly what it is. The words are used interchangeably in the New Testament, especially. It can say teaching one place and doctrine another. It can say teaching here and it can say doctrine in the Greek. Or you can look up the word teaching and doctrine and find that you get the same Strong's number for both of them. It's fun studying the Word of God that way. So take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in that. No matter where the Holy Ghost is being poured out, stick with truth. Stick with the doctrine. Don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine, and don't be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Amen. Revelation 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. You see, the Lord hates false doctrine. He loves true doctrine. Revelation 2:15, the next verse. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. I mean, he's very blunt. He's very bold. He's very outspoken. Jesus said, I hate certain doctrines. I hate them. I think he hates the pro-choice doctrine concerning baptism. Come on, we'll baptize you any way you want. Everything goes in this church. Anything goes in this church. I think God hates that. I really do. He hates anything that carries us away from the Word of God. So don't be carried away with divers and strange doctrine. We're fighting to recover everything that's been lost over the ages in the Word of God. We're not out there peddling truth or peddling other doctrines in place of truth, right? Amen. Amen. Okay, Revelation 2, 14 and 15, which I just read, were addressed to the church at Pergamos, the church where Antipas was a martyr. Oh, put it together? Antipas was a martyr in the church of Pergamos. This is the church that had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. This is the church that had the doctrine of Balaam. This is the church that had doctrines that Jesus Christ hated and said so. But in spite of the pressure of all these strange and different and foreign doctrines, in spite of all that pressure of false doctrine, Antipas held fast. The Bible says, held fast to the name of Jesus. He would not recant. He would not give up the name of Jesus. And you can read into that what's there if you will. And he refused to deny his faith. That's what the Bible says. He wouldn't give up the name of Jesus and he wouldn't give up his faith. And it cost him his life. He was in a church where false doctrine was trying to prevail. Divers and strange doctrines that were carrying people away. You have them there that are carrying you away from the truth. Look out for those people that the devil infiltrates into the church that says, well, you know, I don't know about that, Pastor Tamberg and Pastor Bennett. You know, I mean, they insist on certain things, but, you know, it's not really that important. You know, look at over here what's happening. The love of God. The love of God is moving in that congregation over there. My, it's just fantastic. You know, a lot of people misinterpret the love of God and the moving of the Spirit of God. They think because the Spirit of God is moving on them that they're right. They think just because they had a good church service that they're right. And I wouldn't want this church to think that just because God moves us and moves on us, that makes us right. That's not it. He moves and he woos us and he moves in our midst and he blesses us because he's calling us. Come on, a little closer to me. I'm blessing you so you can feel it's me, it's me. Come on, come on. And when the Lord keeps coming on and we stay there, pretty soon we don't feel the presence of the Lord anymore because the Lord's done gone over here and we're still back there. Amen. Let's move on with the Lord, folks. Amen. Let's move on with the Lord. And the way to stay close to God is stay close to the truth. Stick to the Holy Bible, no matter what the accusations are from the opposition. Amen. Praise the Lord. And let all things be done in love. I have to insert that. Let all things be done in love. Proverbs 23:23. Everybody say 23:23.
23:23.
Proverbs 23:23 says, anybody know? Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth. And sell it not. I'll tell you, once you get a revelation from God, don't give it up. Don't peddle it off. Don't sell it. Don't barter it. Don't anything. Hang on to it. Buy the truth and sell it not. When you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you were convinced of it, and it did something to you, and you know it, and you know it's the Word of God. Don't sell it. Hang on to it. If the whole world turns against you, if the whole church world turns against you, hang on to it. If it was truth then, it's truth today.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So buy the truth and sell it not. These people, he warned them about being carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And divers and strange doctrines are always a temptation for the natural mind. There's something about the natural mind that's in opposition to the spiritual mind. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, the Bible said. There is an opposing force there. Really. Divers and strange doctrines, I repeat, are always a temptation to the natural mind. Why? What is it? 1 Corinthians 8 says, knowledge puffeth up. But why don't we read that first three verses of 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8. Listen to this. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. Did you hear that? That's the natural mind's knowledge. Not God's knowledge, not the natural mind. When it accumulates knowledge, puffeth up. Right? Like Brother Brian Wiseman said one time before a congregation, he said, here, all these elite and highly educated people were together and before a vast audience of people, and they were introducing them, and here stands Dr. So-and-so. He got his BA from here, and he got his MA from here, and he got his PhD from here. And we want to introduce to you Dr. So-and-so, everybody. And they applaud him. And then another one, and another, and another. We want to introduce to you this morning Dr. So-and-so. He got his MA here, and he got his PhD here, and he got his BA before that, way back here, you know. And so on. He said, we want to introduce to you this morning. And everybody roars. And then they asked each one of them, where did you get all this knowledge and education, and what schools did you go to? And they tell where they've been. And then there's a stranger there. Brother Wiseman did this. He said, there's a stranger there. And sir, what are you doing here? Well, what is your name? My name is Jesus. Well, what are your credentials? Well, we don't have your name on our honor roll here. We don't have your name as being enrolled in any of our universities. Well, what are your credentials? He said, well, I created the heavens and the earth. Boo! You know, no applause for Jesus. But oh, let me tell you something. Let's stick to the truth. Knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge puffeth up. But charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. That's where it's at. Your relationship with God. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 1:29. We're going to have to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Spend a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and maybe even 2. What is the purpose of all this? Why am I saying that knowledge puffeth up? And why am I saying that divers and strange doctrines are always a temptation for the natural mind? Because knowledge puffeth up. And what does God say about it in 1 Corinthians 1:29? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And what is your name, sir? Jesus. And what are your credentials? I created the heavens and the earth. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Oh, I love this. For the Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And church of God, that's where we stand today. If we'll put our faith in Jesus Christ and his gospel, he'll change and transform our lives. He'll make us what we ought to be, and he'll baffle the world in doing it. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I'd rather be saved than smart. Amen. Anybody here would rather be saved than smart? Amen. Step number two. I'd rather be saved and smart than be saved and dumb. So get your education with Jesus Christ as the foundation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is to hate evil.
Yes.
I don't think all of our educational institutions dotting our hillsides across America today are teaching students to hate evil. But if your education isn't built on the truth of God's word, it will fall. That's what Paul's talking about here. That no flesh should glory in his presence. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Here it is. Don't be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For this church, this true church of Jesus Christ, has only one doctrine. And here it is, encapsulated in one verse. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's where it all comes from, folks. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not Acts 2:38 first. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified first. And your response to Jesus Christ and him crucified is, what must I do? And the apostle said with anointed lips, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you the truth from God's word. We just read it. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, here it is again, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are mature, perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Got to look out for the wisdom of this world. Nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, and you know good and well, if Pilate would have known it, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's what I say, folks, when we sit in a Holy Ghost-charged service and the Spirit of the Lord moves over us individually, we lift our hands to heaven and our lips stammer and our tongues speak. Oh, praise God. All of a sudden we get a glimpse of glory and we feel like we're in heaven with Jesus and we don't ever want to leave, and we wouldn't trade 5 minutes in the presence of the Lord for all the gold and the material possessions in this world. He's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The natural mind doesn't want to go to heaven. The natural mind doesn't want to die. The natural mind doesn't want to depart this life. The natural mind doesn't know that what Paul meant when he said, I have a desire to depart, a yearning in my heart to depart and to get out of here and be with Jesus, because I've already been there. I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, about 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He said it over and over again. Such an one was caught up into paradise, heard things unutterable to come back and speak. He says, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The natural mind says, no, I've got $1 million I got to spend before I go. I have some things in my life that I want to fulfill, some things I want to do, some pleasures I want to enjoy before I leave this terra firma. Not Paul. And when we sit in church and the Spirit of the Lord moves on us, it's revealed unto us by his Spirit what heaven's all about and what glory is all about and what our eternal future is all about. That's why you feel like you don't want to go home. That's why you feel like you never want the presence of the Lord to leave. That's why our brothers and sisters sit at this altar by the hour just crying, weeping before the Lord as he moves on them. Praise God. Camp was over 1 year, and the lady said to my wife, oh, nuts, now we got to go back and face reality. My wife said, sisters, this is reality. This is reality. We got to go home and face the make-believe. Heaven is true. Heaven is real. Heaven is certain. It's sure. And I wouldn't trade. I'd die today and go to heaven. I wouldn't trade 100 years on this earth for heaven.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. That's because God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Listen to this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why I said, divers and strange doctrines are always a temptation for the natural mind. Because men naturally think they're smart. Why? Because knowledge puffeth up. What does God think of that? He says, no flesh shall glory in my presence. Hallelujah. Let's just humble ourselves, folks, before God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That means he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He that is spiritual, in this verse, is opposed to he that is natural, or opposed to the natural man, who receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The Bible says it, folks. Let's face it. Let's admit it. Let's confess it. The natural mind, the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. When I teach people how to study the Bible, I say, pray before you read the Bible. Ask for God's illumination when you read the Bible, because your natural mind will never grasp it. You'll only grasp facts, history, genealogies, things like that. You will not grasp the spiritual import of the Holy Scriptures. The Bible says so. And then he ends up this chapter and he says, but he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So, he that is spiritual, I said that's opposed to the natural man, or the natural man, who receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And judgeth means discerneth. It's right in my reference notes right here. Discerneth all things. That is, the mysteries of God, which the natural mind cannot discern. Verse 14 just told us that. And when he says judgeth all things, that's according to the measure of illumination which we personally have received from the Lord. We're all at different degrees, of understanding. And so the point is that the wisdom that is of God is not to be subjected to the wisdom of men. Did you ever have any professional or professor ever try to analyze your new birth? Now, what happened to this guy? I mean, we've been rehabilitating people for years, and we have a 2% success record, social services told me, and I've already read it in print. But these Pentecostals, they get the Holy Ghost, and every one of them have a changed life. We can't understand them. Do you ever have them put you in a test tube and analyze your transformation? The wisdom of God is not to be subjected to the wisdom of men, nor is it to be judged of any man. Of any natural man, only by the spiritual man. Folks, we've got something by the truth and sell it not. Hallelujah. Point, the truth that you and I, we as spiritual people, own and profess depends upon God and His Word only. Read your Bible every day. Prevent truth decay. Read your Bible every day, okay? And so, what we have is not subjected to the authority and the judgment of the natural mind. And it's not subjected to human reasoning. We've got something supernatural. Everybody say supernatural.
Supernatural.
Praise God. Do you know that you're supernatural? If you're a new creature, that new creature is supernatural. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, truth stirs up its enemies. Did you know that? You sure do. Truth stirs up its enemies. Wow. I remember my daughter, we were singing in a interfaith type meeting one time, and my daughter said, they asked her to testify, and she did. She says, thank God that I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Boom! We were never asked back again. And we've been going regularly and singing. Never again were we asked back. Truth stirs up its enemies. Well, these are good people. Yeah, but truth stirs up its enemies. It's just a fact. That's all there is to it. The Bible contradicts itself, the natural man says. The Bible contradicts itself. We were just talking about that with some good folks the other day. Yeah, there you are. Praise the Lord. The Bible contradicts itself. A man was reading the Bible. He said the Bible contradicts itself. Or he was reading a book about the Bible, and he decided the Bible contradicts itself. And of course, you've heard me say this before. Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. Men reject the Bible because it contradicts them. Right? Yes. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, just because it's Sunday morning doesn't mean we can't shout. Everybody stand up and shout. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. It's not the Sunday morning blues, is it? Amen. We're saved Sunday morning too. Praise God. Okay, I think it's a mistake to read about the Bible before you read the Bible. Hello? I think it's a mistake to read about the Bible before you read the Bible. Don't tell me how good a Chevy is. Just give me a ride in one. I'll tell you how good it is. Don't tell me how good your Ford is. Give me a ride in it. And so I say, don't read about the Bible before you read the Bible. Read the Bible and find out for yourself. Yeah, but so-and-so said, but my pastor said that your church believes, doesn't believe in Holy Trinity. Your church doesn't believe in the Father and the Holy Ghost. You just believe, you're Jesus only. I said, one guy told me that one time, and I said, oh, you go tell your pastor, I got the Holy Ghost, I must believe in it. And I spoke in tongues when I got it, I must believe in it. Yeah, we believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. One guy said to me, how come you pray to the Father? How come you don't pray to the Father? How come you pray to Jesus? I said, I know my Father's name.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Jesus. Praise God. Okay, so to read about the Bible is a mistake before you've read the Bible. The natural man is not competent to discuss the ways of God or the dealings of God, though he thinks he is. Don't listen to somebody who's giving you a Bible study about the Bible when he hasn't read the Bible and he hasn't experienced the Bible. Amen. The Bible was written by holy men of God that were moved by the Holy Ghost, right? And we need the Spirit of God. That's what I tell people when they're baptized and when they receive the Holy Ghost. I say, one thing you're going to notice is that your fine print Bible becomes bold print. It becomes large print or giant print. And they all come back to me. I don't know one that hasn't come back to me and said, man, you are right. Pastor, you are right. It's just like the Bible is just big before me now. It's opened up. How many had that experience when you got saved? Look at that. Look at the hands all over the place. Sure, your Bible becomes alive. If your Bible's not alive, you must be dead. Right? The person who reads the Bible and says it's dead has to be dead themselves. Some people say, when I want to go to sleep, I read the Bible. And just go to sleep. That's a good way to go to sleep, I'll guarantee you. Put on a tape, read your Bible, and go to sleep with the Word of God in your mind. But I got a problem, folks. When I start reading the Bible, then I wake up. I go, wow, 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 whoa, listen to this. It keeps me awake. I mean, you can get so tired you're going to sleep no matter what, you know, but I'm talking about generalities here. Praise God. The Word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful and so on. Okay. I think one reason, and I'm referring to this recent experience, one reason so many people claim to find contradictions in the Bible. Good people even claim to find contradictions in the Bible. Pentecostals even claim to find contradictions in the Bible. But it's the attitude with which they come to me and ask me about a seeming contradiction in the Bible that tells me something. Okay? I think that the reason a lot of people think they found a contradiction in the Bible is that they haven't taken sides yet. They haven't taken sides yet. They haven't decided whose side they're on. Are they on God's side? Or are they on the side of unbelief? Are they influenced by unbelief? Or are they influenced by faith in God? First of all, you have to establish that God is God. You have to establish that He is sovereign. He is supreme. There is none like Him. He is above all. No equal. No match.
No rival. That's God. Praise the Lord. And then you have to decide, I'm going to get on his side, or I'm going to stay over here and say, I don't know. I don't know about what he said here. You got to take sides, or you'll find yourself offending the Word of God instead of defending the Word of God. Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Folks, I declare unto you this morning, I make my bold statement, I am set for the defense of the gospel. And I say this, just because I don't have an answer to a question you might ask, does not mean that there is not an answer. Just keep studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God is faithful. He will answer. He may have something else he wants us to learn before he's going to teach us what we want to know. Just like you go to school, you learn math. First you start with 1 and 1. 1 plus 1 equals 2. You don't start with calculus. And God knows how much we need to learn before he'll let us learn what we want to know. Right? Yeah. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Praise God, praise God, praise God. So one reason so many people claim to find contradictions in the Bible, even so-called Christians, and they are Christians, they're not sure whose side they're on. They haven't taken sides yet. Their mind is not quite made up. Paul's mind was made up. He said, I know whom I believe. I know in whom I have believed and persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I am set for the defense of the gospel. Paul said this to the Romans, let God be true. There he is. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. When anything man says doesn't agree with what God says, man is wrong. God is right. He's always right. He's always been right. He's right today and he'll always be right.
Hallelujah.
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 And so if it's a question between who's right, This professor or this God? Who's right? Paul said, I'm convinced that God is true and every man's a liar. Praise God. If you can't say that with me this morning, your mind's not made up. You got to read Isaiah again. Get in those chapters in the 40s. Read Isaiah 40 through and just discover God. Get acquainted with him and his great authority and power. Praise him. He challenges the world in Isaiah. He challenges them. He said, okay, you're so smart, you tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, I'll not only tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, I'll bring it to pass. I'll make it happen. Because I said it, it's going to happen. That's what God says. Well, I get excited about him. I get so excited about my God. He's not concerned if I get shot, martyred, killed, drop dead behind the pulpit preaching. He's not worried about that. He's just going to say one day, come forth. He's got it all under control. Praise the Lord. Who do you think's in control of this universe? God Almighty is in control. Man is in charge of a lot of things, but God's in control. And God will only let him go so far on his leash. And when God pulls it in, brother, they're coming in. That's my God. Give him a clap. Praise God. People know him. See, that's what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Spiritual people know him. And therefore, because they know him, they stood up beside him. He called them to him. They came. They looked at him. They reached out and touched him. They felt of his biceps and whatever other steps the body has. And they said, whew, whew, I trust you. You can do anything. You can do anything. And then they go back out and finish their lives trusting him. That's the spiritual mind. That's the spiritual mind. Spiritual people know him and therefore trust him. Have you taken sides yet? Have you seen him? Have you met him? Have you felt of his muscles? Do you know him? If you do, if you have met him, you will trust him. You'll take sides. You'll say, let God be true.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Everything that opposes him is wrong.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, I could scream. Can I?
Yeah.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you,
I get excited about my God.
Amen.
You see these big bulky wrestlers? You see these fancy boxers? You see all these power lifters? Put them all together. And God just go, psst. You. Right? That's my God. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, in this, among the Hebrews, false teaching appeared. Divers and strange doctrines, different and foreign doctrines appeared. And in their case here, it was meats, because he talks about it. But he talks about that to the Corinthians and to the Colossians also, 1 Corinthians 8:8. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Colossians 2:16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Okay, there's no prophet in the shadow. The Bible says the Old Testament law was types and shadows. The shadow, the body that casts the shadow, if I have a light here, nice bright light on me, you can see my shadow on the wall here. It's the body that casts the shadow. The shadow doesn't do anything for you. You can't eat a shadow. You can't shake hands with a shadow and so on. It's elusive. It's temporary. But the body that casts the shadow is the substance. And that's what we're talking about this morning. There is no profit in the shadow once the body has come. No profit in occupying ourselves in meats, drinks, and all of these things, which he said, let no man judge you in meat or drink in respect of the holy day of the new moon or Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body that cast the shadow, but the body is of Christ. And that's what that Old Testament was. It cast this. And we're looking at an obscure, we're looking at a shadow, and we're trying to make out all the eyebrows and the eyelashes and the wrinkles or whatever. You know, we're trying to figure it all out from a shadow. You can't do it. It's the body that cast the shadow. Now the body has come, and we really see things clearly. Praise the Lord. Jesus is here. Be established with grace, he says. That's the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Amen. Amen. Well, let me tell you how to test a doctrine to see if this doctrine of don't eat ham or pork or whatever problem they were having. Here's a good way to test a doctrine. This is my idea. See how you like it. This is what I have said to people who press their doctrine. I run it through several gates before I accept it. One of them is, does this doctrine that you are propounding, does this doctrine that you are so in love with, does it make you a better worshiper? This doctrine that you're so in love with, you know, like can't do this, can't do that, or whatever, this great doctrine, does it make you holier? Does it make you closer, to bring you closer to Jesus? Does it give you peace and joy? This doctrine that's so wonderful to you, does it make you a better worshiper? Does it make you a holier person? Does it make you a better Christian? Does it make you love Jesus more? And if you have to say no to any of them, I'll say, can your doctrine? Toss it. Junk it. True doctrine puts a smile on your face. True doctrine puts a bounce in your step. True doctrine gives life to you. Praise God. Oh, I got arthritis. True doctrine makes you dance on one leg. Hallelujah. True doctrine will make you happy. True doctrine will make you a worshiper. True doctrine will make you more holy. True doctrine will make you love Jesus more. And if it doesn't do that, I wonder how good that doctrine is. Our time is up. Can we stand? The kingdom of God, the Bible says in Romans 14, 17, is not meat and drink. It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy.
Hallelujah.
Joy in the Holy Ghost. That's why when the world says, what are you so happy about? Don't you know we're all the Lord? Don't you know Bill Clinton selling us down the door? Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? How come you're so happy? Because I have supernatural joy. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you know it? Your joy is supernatural if it's in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Oh, clap your hands again unto the Lord.
Praise God.